As you can see, the last phrase of the verse is what we're going to concentrate on. It is a startling statement. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's one of the most sweeping, potent verses I've ever read in the Bible. Can you believe it to be so? Can your mind accept this, the ramifications of it? Everything that is not of faith is sin. Any line of activity, any hard attitude that doesn't flow out of faith is sinful. Now, it's obvious as one reads the Bible that faith is important. I mean, the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Not that it's difficult, but it's impossible. It's undoable. I cannot please God apart from faith. And that in itself, that's Hebrews 11:6, that's where that verse is found. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That verse in itself is such a startling thing, a stunning statement. But our text takes it a step further. Our text says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Actively sin. Whatsoever does not grow out of my faith relationship with God. Now, who would have thought faith was that important? We know faith is necessary for victory. We know faith is necessary to see God move mountains. We know faith is necessary to receive wisdom from God. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all men and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. We know faith is important for receiving things from the Lord. It is the vehicle through which we receive from God as we open ourselves to Him, trusting Him. Faith is necessary for the guidance of God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So we know how significant faith is in the practical affairs of the Christian life. But who in the world would ever have imagined that if at any time I am not functioning in faith, if I allow a settled lifestyle action or attitude to dominate me that does not originate with faith, then I am living in sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, we're going to spend a few moments around this concept tonight using other passages of Scripture to better understand this principle. And I want to just ask of God and of His Word, what is it about faith that makes it so necessary to the point that anything unrelated to faith is sin? What is it about faith that makes it so significant that anything in my life that is unrelated to faith is sin? Two statements I want to lay before you. Number one, this: faith is the willingness to trust God completely. Faith is the willingness to trust God completely. In other words, faith by definition is confidence in God's faithfulness. Anything not of faith is sin because it is an insult to the character of God. It is calling into question the faithfulness of God. Now let me illustrate that by applying it in a couple of three areas. First of all, let's apply it to the area of salvation. Faith, believing in Jesus, believing on Jesus, is the one necessary element in the human life which the Bible speaks of as a prerequisite for salvation. Tied to repentance, they're flip sides of the same coin. Repent and believe. You do one, you do the other. You can't do one without the other. You can't believe on Jesus till you stop believing in yourself. You can't sell out to the Savior until you stop yielding to selfishness. So repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. We've looked at repentance really over the last 3 days. Basically, that's what I've preached on the last three times, repentance. I want to look at the other side of the coin tonight, faith. Faith, believing on Jesus, trusting Jesus to do for me what I cannot do for myself, is the necessary element in salvation. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as receive Jesus, to them He gives the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. Being saved, being added to the family of God, is contingent upon my believing on the name of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 2 says, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're saved tonight, it is simply because you have trusted Jesus Christ to cover you with His shed blood, to forgive your sin debt through His work on the cross. Philippians 3, the Bible says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is after the law, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. What saves a man is none of our religious involvement or religious activity. All of that, Paul said, is dung. It is useless when it comes to salvation. The only thing that matters is the righteousness of God. We don't earn it by the works of the law. We receive it because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. My friend, when the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin, one realm in which we need to apply that is in the realm of salvation. If you think you can get salvation any way other than just simply believing in Jesus, that is sin. It is a sinful doctrine. Any teaching, any teacher, any preacher, any church that tells men that to be saved they need to add something to faith in Jesus Christ is preaching a doctrine of sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Certainly that's true in the realm of salvation. The Bible tells us, my friend, that salvation comes by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Anytime men begin to add something to the work of the cross, they are essentially insulting the sufficiency of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on Calvary, just before He dismissed His spirit, He said, "It is finished." Not His life. He wasn't saying, "My life is over. My life is finished." He was saying, "My work is over. My work is finished. I've done everything that needs to be done. I've completed the task. I have finished the work of saving men. Now everything is in place for a man to be saved." When Jesus announced, "It is finished," He was saying, "Not one thing needs to be added to what I've done for a man to get to heaven. I have completed the work. All men do now is receive what I finished for them on the cross." We need to apply this verse of Scripture to salvation. Let me put it plainly to you tonight. If you think that you can be saved by cleaning up your life, if you think you can get to heaven by balancing your good works versus your bad deeds, if you think you can get baptized or join a church or get your act together or start treating your wife better, and that any of that will contribute to your salvation, that is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We need to apply it not only in the realm of salvation, we need to apply it in the realm of security. There are multitudes of people who would have us believe that yes, you get saved by grace through faith, but if you're going to stay saved, you've got to do something else. But I'll tell you, friend, when you read the Bible, you'll find that faith is trusting God not just to save you, but also to keep you saved. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "We are confident of this very thing, that God who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." The God who saved me by faith keeps me by faith. 2 Timothy 1:12 reemphasizes that principle. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You say, a fellow said to me one day, "Preacher, I don't believe you can know for sure that you're saved until you hear the door of heaven shut behind you." Well, the real problem is in the words, "I don't believe." 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life." That you may know that you have eternal life. You don't wait till heaven's door is shut to say, "Well, I'm glad I've got it." You can know now you've got it. Why? Because eternal life comes not through anything you do, but through what Jesus has done. And as you simply open yourself to Him and allow Him to minister His life in your life. My friend, the Bible teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that God is faithful to keep us body, soul, and spirit until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we find this realm, whatsoever is not of faith in sin. You don't find in the Bible the kind of faith that trusts halfway in the matter of salvation and then leaves it up to us to work our way in from there on. When Jesus birthed you into the family, He didn't drop kick you in the middle of the world and say, do the best you can, I'll see you if you can hang on. He said, I seal you with my Holy Spirit. And even if you grieve the Holy Spirit, I seal you until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30 says. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you're not trusting God completely to secure you for heaven, you're living in sin. Now we need to apply it, however, in a more practical realm, not just in the realm of salvation and security, but in the realm of supply. We need to trust God completely in spiritual matters for salvation, for heaven, but also in physical matters to meet our needs, to see to us in the affairs of life. And to not do so is to live in sin. Philippians chapter 4 says, be anxious for nothing. It's a command. We want to ask God, are you serious? Do you mean that? Be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing. But instead just pray and trust and let me tend to it. You mean that's really what you expect me to do? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, take no thought of your life. A command from Jesus, take no thought of your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. That's how the lost world lives, worrying about those things. You do this. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of. Does that mean it, what it says? Is that serious? Can we take that seriously? Are we expected of God to take that seriously? Surely that's not a sin God will take very seriously if I violate that command and spend my life taking thought. After all, I'm only human. Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Are we serious about sin? Are we serious about holiness? Here's an area of holiness. Here's an area of sin that must be dealt with. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I tremble at these words. I'm asking God to help me believe His Bible. We talk about believing the Word of God, but I don't think most of us do, or we couldn't sit up straight. I mean, really, we'd be bowed before God with brokenness if we believed His Bible. If we believed this half a verse, folk, it'd spark revival in our lives. This half a verse is enough to break us before God to the point that His glory would come on us if we really took it seriously. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'm sinning against God if I'm not believing Him. Faith is the willingness to trust God completely, not trust Him partially and trust myself the rest of the way. Now, we all know that in salvation. Trust Him completely to save me. I'm not trusting myself, I'm trusting Jesus. That's right. You better be, otherwise you're not saved. You're living in rebellion against the gospel of Christ. Trusting Him for security. I know God's going to take me through. I'm in His hand and I shall never perish. I have confidence that He who began a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Good. Hallelujah. In these spiritual realms, we're so quick to say, I trust the Lord only. But do you mean to tell me I must not have good sense? Do you mean to tell me I can trust Him completely to keep me out of hell and to take me to heaven with this massive load of my sin debt that had to be dealt with? I can trust Him to do that for me, to seal my eternity, but I can't trust Him to make my mortgage? I can't trust Him to meet my physical needs? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Psalm 37:25. The psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. Never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. If you're not living in faith tonight, dear heart, believing that God will be true to His Word and take care of you according to His wisdom, you're living in sin. I want to be kind because I'm there. I want to preach sweet tonight. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, He said, take no thought of tomorrow. Don't waste a second of energy worrying about tomorrow, He said. You let me tend to your todays, and tomorrow will line itself out. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You yield to me today. You struggle right now with this yieldedness to me, and tomorrow will tend to itself. Listen, there's probably not a one of us in this building tonight who haven't sinned against God today in that command. Take no thought of tomorrow. I'm sweating next week. Some of you, are you? You're worrying about what's going to happen 6 months from now. whatsoever is not of faith. You can't be right with God without having faith in His ability to take care of you. Now, this is simple stuff. I know it's not deep and complex, but we don't need deep and complex. We need obedience to the basics. We need obedience to the basics. Why is it you can't be right with God without having faith in His ability to take care of you? Because one reason is that you'll sin against God in the matter of giving. If you can't trust God to meet your physical needs, you'll sin against God in giving. I don't know how many times folk have tried to justify the withholding of tithes and offerings by saying, "Preacher, I can't afford to give." What they're really saying is, I don't trust God enough to obey Him when He tells me to do something. I'd rather live in rebellion to God than step out on faith and be forced to trust Him to supply my needs. Multitudes of church members choose sin over faith. Now listen, think about that a minute. Multitudes of us choose sin over faith. We choose to take thought of tomorrow. We choose to take thought of what we'll eat or drink or wear. We choose to do that. Now, God said, don't do it. God said, trust me. And we've got the options, trust Him or sin. And we say, I'll sin. Faith is the willingness to trust God completely. That's why whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Because when I get out of the realm of trusting God completely, either to save me or to secure me for heaven or to supply my needs, I am calling into question His word, His truthfulness. I'm saying I don't believe God's telling the truth. I don't believe I can trust God to keep His promises. God says He'll save me. God says He'll secure me. God says He'll supply for me. But I'm afraid He's not really telling me straight up, so I'm going to worry myself about it. Second reason, and there's only a two-point message tonight. That's a relief, I know, at this point. Faith is not only the willingness to trust God completely, but faith is the attitude that unlocks the power of God in our lives. Faith is an attitude that unlocks the power of God in our lives. The converse of that is, when I'm not operating in faith, I am hindering, blocking the power of God in my life. In essence, I am quenching the Spirit. I am grieving the Spirit. I am preventing God from doing in me what He wants to do. Let me show you a verse of Scripture that's been on my mind ever since this meeting started. John chapter 11. In John chapter 11 and verse 40. Now this is at the tomb of Lazarus. Somebody quoted this at supper tonight about Lazarus being dead 4 days and stinking by now. Lazarus wasn't just dead, he was dead. He was stinky dead. I've been to some churches like that. One thing to be dead, but it's another thing to stink you to dead, you know. And then the Lord Jesus spoke these words to the sisters, actually to Martha. He said in verse 40 unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Now look at that, brothers. I've been thinking on that verse and meditating on it ever since things began to roll along around here. If thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. God has His glory poised and ready, wanting to unleash His glory. He's looking for people who will believe so that they can see the glory of God. You see, faith positions me such that God can show me His glory. Faith positions me for God to put on a demonstration and a display of His glory. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Why? Because when I step out of the realm of faith, I am positioning myself such that I stop God from showing me His glory. I prevent God from manifesting Himself in my life and through my life. Now that can be applied in two realms, and I want to hit them both a lick. Internally and externally. Internally, seeing the power of God unleashed. One of the clear statements of the Bible is that saved people have available to us a life of dynamic, joyous, overcoming power in Jesus. Is that so? Is that really what the Bible says? That we have available to us a life that Jesus calls more abundant. Not just life, but overflowing life. He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. By this spake ye the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Do you believe that so? The Bible promises a quality of life that is powerful and victorious and overflowing and abundant, and yet so few professing believers actually experience this blessed state. It makes me embarrassed sometimes as I go into meetings to sing our songs. You know, we sing Victory in Jesus, and then we look like we've just been stomped and whipped, and we look like we got more indigestion than eternal life. And I think, what in the world are we doing singing about victory? We ought not sing about it till we're walking in it. God's given us a promise. He's given us a quality of internal life. See, I'm talking about something that's internal now. I'm not talking about religious externalities. I'm talking about internally, God has promised a power available that would qualify me as an overcomer, that would enable me to live above the situations, in the situations, full of Jesus, peace that passes understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. These are the promises of God. And faith is that which positions me so that God can fulfill those promises in my life. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Why? Because when I begin to live outside the realm of faith, I prevent God from fulfilling His Word, and before the world's eyes, it looks like God's a liar. Here I am, a professing Christian, limping through life, beat up, not overcoming. A life of faith is one that's lived in total submission to and dependence on the power of Jesus Christ. A life of faith is a life of reckless abandon to the Lordship of Jesus. Commitment without reservation to Him. Willing to follow His every directive, regardless of the feasibility or the odds of success. Hebrews 11:8 illustrates it. In Abraham, it says, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a land that he would have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he just obeyed. Just go, God says. 80-year-old man, just go. Somebody says, Abraham, where are you going? Have no idea. Then why are you going? God said, go. Faith is the willingness to, without reservation, go as directed of God. It is a trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The opposite of a life of faith is a life of unbelief. It is a life of doubt and carnal suspicion and consequently sin. Faith empowers obedience. Anytime I'm not living in faith, I will inevitably wind up living in disobedience. I will rationalize my disobedience because I will not be believing God to carry through with what He said He would do. Sin always brings with it disease and decrepancy, degradation, death. That's the companions of sin. Dresses up in pretentious clothing, but the real nature of sin's consequences always are defeat, discouragement, depression, decrepancy. When we entertain willful sin in our lives, we forfeit the abundant life of God. And in the place of the abundant life of God, we're defeated and diseased in our heart, degraded, feel like we're dying by inches instead of shouting the victory all the way to heaven. The power of God will be released within us to cause us to mature spiritually and to enjoy His inner fulfillment when we give ourselves to a life of faith. The Bible says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Why? For he trusteth in Thee. This internal life, the internal life of the child of God, victorious, powerful, anointed, it is hinging on faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, because when I begin to operate outside the realm of faith, I nullify the promises of God, I block the flow of the Spirit of God, and I find myself getting by when I should be getting it on for Jesus. And then there's an external side of this as well. Externally, faith is laying everything on the line for Jesus. Faith is total surrender to Him regardless of the cost or consequence. When we really lay it all on the line for the Lord in faith, surrendering all that we are to Him, we'll begin to see God at work in and through our lives in a supernatural way. Miracles will become the stuff of life. I mean unusual, supernatural happenings. As God uses your faith life to powerfully impact those around you for the glory of the gospel. Acts 1:8 says, You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But notice, friend, this power of God is not just for our internal enjoyment. Now, there are internal benefits. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, peace that passes. That's all inside. That is something happening inside of me. You can't see it. It's internal. But when that power of God comes on me, when I'm living in faith and functioning under the anointing of God, when I'm yielding all, surrendering all, allowing Jesus to rule in my life by faith, the power of the Spirit will not only bless me internally, He will flow through me externally. The Bible says you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Something's going to happen on the outside of me when I'm functioning in faith and living in the power of God. And the reason so many of us have such a difficult time bearing any kind of witness to Jesus is because, frankly, we're living in sin. We're living in unbelief. And we're blocking the flow of God's power. We're not allowing God to unleash Himself in and through us. And so those we work around and go to school with, instead of seeing a shining testimony for Jesus, see a Christian dragging through life, afraid, intimidated, and ashamed, and never counting for Jesus' sake. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible declares that God will use us as a vessel for His glory if we'll just be clean. If a man purge himself, the Bible says, he'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and suitable for the master's use. A sanctified vessel is one that's been cleansed of sin. And the great sin that must be cleansed is the sin of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." When we think of sin, we think of cussing, drinking, ungodliness. When we think of sin, we think of drug abuse or pornography. When we think of sin, we think of abortion or homosexuality. When we think of sin, we think in terms of external manifestation, but sin always originates in the heart of man with an unbelief, not believing God, not believing God's word. Every sin is rooted in unbelief. Every sin is rooted in unbelief, which is why unbelief is the ultimate sin. It's the ultimate sin. Brother, if I live in unbelief, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. I'll find a justification for it. I'll find a way around the Word of God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and sin will hinder our effectiveness as a vessel of service for the Lord. Now, I said two things, basic concepts that are not deep or profound, but I want you to grasp them as we close. Sin is rooted in unfaith, lack of faith, unbelief. The reason that's so is because faith is the willingness to trust God completely. Anytime I'm not trusting God completely, believing that He will keep His word to me and be faithful to me, I'm sinning against God. Whether that's in the realm of my salvation or my security or my supply, I'm sinning against God if I doubt, if I disbelieve that He will do what He's promised to do. Faith is also the attitude of heart that unleashes the power of God in my life. Internally, to give me abundant life and all that goes with it. Externally, to make me a vessel that can bring glory and praise to the Lord. Whenever I begin to live in unbelief, I am hindering what God wants to do in me, but even more than that, through me as a witness to Jesus Christ. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith is the one thing we must have. The just shall live by faith. Jesus asked the disciples, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" I don't know where you are with God, but I'll tell you what I want to say to the Lord tonight. I want to say, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." All things are possible to him that believe, Jesus said. If thou wouldst believe, you would see the glory of God. I want to see the glory of God. I cannot see it apart from faith. I must believe. I must be operating, functioning in faith, or I cannot see the glory of God. I must be trusting Him completely. I must trust Him to save me and secure me and supply for me. I must yield myself to His presence so that He can unleash and unlock His power in my life. I must believe Him. I must avail myself to Him as a vessel. D.L. Moody got right with God and yielded himself to the gospel call when he heard somebody say, "The world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is 100% yielded to Him." He said, "By faith, I will be that man. I will be that man." Every one of us tonight ought to say to the Lord, "God in heaven, I want to be someone who is completely trusting You, who is radically believing You, who is willing above everything else to become a vessel through whom You can flow. And dear God, please don't let me doubt or disbelieve and thus block the glory of God." Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Father, help us tonight to examine ourselves. May you, dear God, penetrate us by the Holy Spirit. Father, some of us may be guilty of sin, not even knowing we've been sinning. We've been examining our lives for actions that are sinful, but the attitude beneath them is the problem. An unbelief, not trusting you completely, not releasing, not yielding so that you can flow through us. Father, give us power tonight. Power. Power to repent. Power to believe. Faith comes from you, Lord. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. May you use the Word of God tonight to work faith into us, to birth faith into us. Jesus, I pray. Amen. The Lord's spoken to you tonight. You do whatever He says while we give you time.